and welcome to another episode of the Stumbled Upon podcast. I am your host, Kate, and each week we will be taking a deep dive into a random topic that has sparked my interest. Before we get started, I hope that you're all having a wonderful Friday and are looking forward to the weekend ahead. This week's topic is about slang and where it comes from. The spark really came from me realizing I'm at an age now where I don't 100% know what current slang is or what it means when I hear it. And it's a little embarrassing, but thank God for the internet, right? Because you can just do a quick Google search like, hey, what does this word mean or what does this phrase mean? So I'm at least not totally clueless, but that point brings me to my point that I think that the internet itself and social media helps keep or is helping to keep older generations in the loop more than in previous generations. Because I think back to when I was a teenager and using the slang of the day, and my parents really didn't have the internet as a resource to kind of figure out what I was saying or what I meant. I think today or nowadays, we have that as a resource to kind of try to figure out those of us that are inclined to be online. One, we're more exposed. The older, even though we're getting older, my generation is getting older, we are still exposed to the slang in internet culture, especially. And we also, like I said, if we don't know what something means, we can just very easily look it up and kind of figure that out. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I wanted to do just a little bit of a deep dive into where slang itself actually comes from. So I started by looking up what the difference is between a colloquialism and slang, and the term colloquialism is really the umbrella term. So it encompasses all informal language, including idiom, slang, and jargon. So what's considered colloquial can depend on the audience or the message. For example, academics tend to write more formally in papers, but more informally for the same subject in something like a textbook. So a textbook may be considered colloquial when it's compared to like an academic journal, for example. For a long time, something that was colloquial was considered a sign of being less educated, but nowadays we communicate more and more informally, so that sort of stigma is becoming a little bit less. And that's not to say that it's not around, because there are some academics and literary folks who really, really hate using informal language. But because of things like text messaging, Twitter, social media in general, that informal language is sort of becoming more and more acceptable, I guess, in our culture. So I did want to mention that an idiom is considered an expression that doesn't exactly mean the words that it contains. For example, I bit off more than I can chew, or cat got your tongue. Neither one of those expressions are meant literally. So an idiom would be something that is not meant to be taken literal. And that is something that can be confusing for people who are learning a new language, for example, because when you're learning a new language, you're taking everything pretty literally, or it's hard to maybe parse out the difference between what is literal and what is figurative. So an idiom would be an expression that is considered figurative. And then jargon is specialized language of a profession or a group. So using terms that only people who are in that field would understand would be considered the use of jargon. So then what is slang? Slang takes the place of other words and could be considered linguistically rebellious, perhaps repurposing a word to mean something else, like the words dope, hot, or cool. Slang typically spreads from smaller groups to larger groups. The small groups, like friends, ethnic groups, or geographical communities, will create slang to foster solidarity and better communicate with each other. When people outside these groups hear them use these words, the outsiders might adopt them into their speech. Over time, the slang becomes used by a wider public and is not necessarily associated with the originating small group anymore. Because of the constantly changing and spoken nature of slang, linguists struggle to track when or where slang comes from. Sometimes slang will fall out of favor, making users sound dated, for example, using the words groovy or rad nowadays. Other times it becomes part of the overall lexicon and people forget it started as slang. So some examples of slang that were noted in the 1916 dictionary that I would not know were slang at that time are words like awful, bouncer, fake, grouchy, jinx, and roughhouse. So that just goes to show you how fluid language really is and how the use of words over time can change pretty drastically from something that was considered slang, for example, to now words that, like the word grouchy, I would not consider to be slang. Informal, yeah, probably, but I wouldn't consider it a slang word anymore. So that's just kind of interesting to see the evolution of language and how drastically things can change. So why is slang important? Well, it's got to serve a function if we keep using it, right? It can create a sense of belonging among those who understand and use it. When slang is used, there's a subtext to the primary message. That subtext will speak to the listener and the speaker's membership in the same group. Because the in-group identity is so important, slang is a powerful and clear manifestation of that identity's benefits. Sometimes the primary message isn't the meaning of what is said, but in the very use of slang itself. Youth is the most powerful stimulus for the creation and distribution of slang. When we're young, we're subject to the generational imperative to invent a slang vocabulary that we perceive as our own, rejecting the slang of our older siblings and even our parents in favor of a new lexicon. American slang is known for its fertility because it reproduces itself in abundance with each new generation. So I stuck to English slang, obviously, because English is my primary language. It's my only language. And so I was focusing on American slang when I was looking it up. And I thought it was interesting that the article that I was reading noted that American slang is considered especially changing. I don't know if that was really in it didn't specify that it was in comparison to other languages, but it just made that notation that American slang really turns over pretty aggressively from generation to generation. And I would argue that it even changes within like micro generations. So slang that may have been popular, for example, for like people who are considered older millennials was not necessarily popular for people that are considered younger millennials or on the cusp of Gen Z. And so I think it really probably rolls over every few years. And I would also argue that the fact that we do have the internet and we do have such widespread social media use, it probably changes even more rapidly in that context nowadays than it did even in, you know, just a couple generations ago, like Generation X, for example. At any given moment, there are many slang words and expressions in use across the country. By a process similar to natural selection, only the strong terms or phrases survive, spreading from the small group in which they are coined. The rest are quickly discarded and forgotten. With a few notable exceptions, we tire of even the strongest words and they fade away, usually after being co-opted by advertisers and journalists. Because of this short-lived nature, slang must constantly regenerate as a subset of the language. I thought that was an interesting point as well. The slang words that stick around or that become more widespread really kind of die when they become so mainstream that advertisers are using them. Because then it becomes lame, you know? That word has now made it out of the in-group and is now being used by everybody everywhere, that the use of it no longer gives that in-group status, which I think is the whole point of slang, or one of the main points of using slang is to create that sort of in-group status, especially amongst, you know, the youth, which makes me sound so old. But it's true, because when you're a teenager and you're trying to figure things out and you don't know what's what, you know, having that sort of identity around your peers is so, so important. And so that peer language, those peer groups, that in-group status is something that's really important at that time of your development. And so once somebody is using a slang word, for example, on like a billboard, the one that comes to mind is I saw a billboard for a like an accident lawyer. And it said IYK YK. And then it had a little asterisk next to it. And everybody, or most people, know that that stands for if you know, you know. It's an internet slang. And the little asterisk next to it took you to some smaller text at the bottom of the billboard that said, if you know, you know. And so that made it, in my opinion, one, stupid because you have explained what the message is for people who are not in the in-group. And the fact that it's if you know, you know, the use of that itself is like an in-group thing. But then you're explaining it, so then it's not even if you know, you know, because now you're explaining what that means. And it also being on a billboard for an accident lawyer makes it even less of an in-group saying anymore, because now it's made it into that sort of mainstream advertising. And I just thought that that was kind of lame, for lack of a better term. And so that, I think, is an example of how something that started in an in-group lexicon, like internet speak, and it made its rounds around through the public to now being in an advertisement, means that it has lost that in-group status meaning. Now, we may continue, I'm sure we'll continue to use it because I still see it on the internet especially, but it doesn't have that distinguishing in-group characteristic anymore, if that makes sense. Getting back to slang, youth slang derives some of its power from its willingness to borrow from other bodies of slang. Blatantly predatory, despite the illusion of creativity and originality, it borrows without shame, most notably from African-American vernacular. In the 1930s, mainstream youth embraced the language of jazz musician idols. Then in the 1950s and 60s, slang of American teenagers was shaped by fast-talking AM radio DJs. And then by the 1980s, the video DJs started influencing slang on TV networks like MTV and VH1. Another source is the slang graveyard of past generations. So some examples of that would be the terms groovy or boss from the 1960s actually came from the 1940s in the case of groovy and the 1870s in the case of boss. The term sweet came from the 1930s. And then fly, which was primarily used in the 80s, came from the 1930s, which itself borrowed from the 1870s. So again, I think that these are examples of, you know, it's not just slang that sort of regenerates or resurfaces, but pop culture in general, or what's cool, or cool, by the way, is another slang term that has like stood the test of time and is used almost in every generation. But what's cool or what is popular in pop culture or fashion or in language, you know, you see this sort of resurgence of things over and over again. I remember, you know, when I was a kid in the 90s and bell-bottom jeans were the popular thing, my mom remarked on how, you know, that was popular from when she was a child in the 60s. And so I think it's interesting to see how trends kind of come and go. And it's sort of like this cyclical sort of thing that encompasses more than just, you know, fashion or whatever. And I think that also speaks to, you know, the rebelliousness of youth. You don't want to be associated with your parents' culture, so you reach back further. So, you know, I'm a millennial, and so my generation didn't want what was the generation before us. So we reached back even further into the 60s to pull what our definition of cool was. In addition to bringing your own, you know, sense of identity, that also, I think, plays a part into it as well. And like I said before, the internet of today really helps shape trends, and it has sort of a rapid fire aspect to it now that I don't know that we saw it quite as aggressively, you know, in generations past, where trends kind of surge up and die really quickly nowadays. And so not only does the internet connect us in a way that we can kind of stay more connected, for lack of a better term, between the generations, but also it's a way for these trends to kind of hit the masses really quickly, and then they like die off just as quickly because then we're on to the next thing. So it's sort of this almost like revved up version of how trends came and went in previous generations, in my opinion. So I did look up some US, UK, and Australian slang terms, or just terms that I thought it would be interesting to see different countries that speak English as their primary language. I thought it would be interesting to see what words they use for like the same thing. And so I just have a few examples of that that I thought would be cool or that I found interesting. So in America, we use candy as the generic term for sweet treats, but that's different from baked goods. We also may specify hard candy versus just candy in general, you know, like chocolate bars would be candy, but then also hard candy, you'd be thinking like something like sweet tarts or Smarties or something similar. Lifesavers? I don't know. I'm like blanking what hard candy is. And then these terms are all different from cotton candy, right? Well, in the UK, sweets is the generic term, and they specify hard candy as boiled sweets because it's made by boiling sugar syrup. And then for them, cotton candy is called candy floss. And then in Australia, they also use sweets, but lollies refer to hard candies, which kind of got me thinking. I think they use the term lollies for suckers in the UK, but I could be wrong. And then in America, you know, we use lollipop is, I think, where lolly comes from, but we also say suckers, or at least I did as a kid. I don't know if they still call them suckers. And then cotton candy for Australia is fairy floss. This one I thought was interesting. So in the US, there's a lot of euphemisms or colloquial terms for having sex. And so one of them being having sex, obviously. And then making love, hooking up, getting lucky, bumping uglies, doing it. You know, I think like these, each generation kind of comes up with a way to use the term, like to say this, what this is without actually saying what this is. And then in the UK, they use terms like shag, bonk, or having it off. And then in Australia, they say root. So I don't know. And then sprinkles in the US are called sprinkles or jimmies. In the UK, they're called hundreds and thousands. Same with Australia. And then Australia has something that they call fairy bread, which is white bread topped with butter and sprinkles, which I thought was kind of cute. So those are just some examples of, I don't know if it's necessarily slang, but just I thought it was interesting to see how even English as a language is used so differently in so many different parts. I probably could have looked up what different terms are just even within the United States, between the different regions in the United States, like North versus South versus West Coast versus East Coast. You know, there's all different terms probably for the same thing, just depending on where you're from. And again, that harkens back to that geographical small groups that come up with these different slang terms for different things, because it then gives you that sense of belonging within that group. So just something that I thought was interesting. In conclusion, slang is another way we communicate with each other, and it's especially important for various group identities. I think it's an interesting look at how language evolves within each generation and can be fun to see how creative people are. It's especially interesting to see different uses of words between English speakers of different countries. Hope this topic hit different for you. I'll be seeing you next Friday.